Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for our Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, everyone, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for clicking on the podcast and checking out the content. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, this podcast is here to help you master your reality, master your life, through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. Now we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, which we're doing today. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try whenever possible to throw in an extra episode throughout the week based on a different topic, maybe something having to do with manifesting, law of attraction, something from mental health or psychotherapy. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. So let's go ahead and get into this today. As I said, this is Tuesday Taoism. We have been reading from the Tao Te Ching. It's the basically the book in Taoism. And it's composed or made up of 81 very, very short chapters, almost like short meditations. Keep in mind, I say it every week, this book was originally written 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. So it has been translated a great many times by a great many different people into a great many different languages. The reason I always say that is because even if you get two different authors who both translated into English, based on the author's interpretation, you can get very different meaning out of the original text. So I'm reading from this particular copy, it's translated by Stephen Mitchell. As I've said here before, it's the one I keep coming back to. I've been reading the Tao Te Ching now since I was a teenager. It had a tremendous impact on my life. And I thought, you know, hey, I want to share it with everyone here listening to the podcast. And hopefully you get something great out of it as well. A little historical context I'd like to review every once in a while. When Buddhism moved from, you know, originated in India, and as it moved into other countries, one of the first countries, or the first country, I think it really moved into, you know, in a major way, was China. And it is said, you know, in China at that time, the two major philosophy schools of thought was Confucianism and Taoism. Confucianism, I believe, was much bigger, but Taoism was kind of a smaller majority of the people. But it is said that Buddhism from India came into China and sort of merged with Taoism, and that is what gave birth to Zen Buddhism, which is, you know, been my practice for a good probably about 12, 13 years now. And it's completely changed my life and the way that I view my life. And that's part of the reason that I have the Zen stream on Sundays. You're welcome to, of course, check out all of those episodes, Zen stream on Sunday. So it is interesting. I love, you know, sharing this kind of information with you and going over this these amazing chapters. We are up to chapter 56 today. So I'm going to go ahead, read this, and then discuss it a little bit, and we'll see what we get out of it. It starts with a very funny line. Given what I'm doing right now. So let me go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk, okay? Chapter 56, Tao Te Ching, as translated by Stephen Mitchell. Those who know don't talk. Those who talk don't know. Close your mouth, block off your senses, blunt your sharpness, untie your knots, soften your glare, settle your dust. This is the primal identity. Be like the Tao. It can't be approached or withdrawn from, benefited or harmed, honored or brought into disgrace. It gives itself up continually. That is why it endures. And that's the end of the chapter right there. Really love that last, those last two lines. It gives itself up continually. That is why it endures. So let's state the obvious here. I do a lot of talking. And we have those first two lines, those who talk, or those who know don't talk, those who talk don't know. Now, can't have a podcast without talking. Although I gotta tell you, I am pretty tempted to just end the episode right here and just come back next week and get into chapter 57. But I'm not gonna do that. Let's talk about this just a little bit, okay? And hopefully we'll use the words in the best way possible, right? Words, like they say in Zen, scripture, books, sutras, words, they are never the actual reality, right? All they do is point to the ultimate reality. So there's a pretty famous, saying in Zen that they say, don't confuse the finger pointing to the moon for the moon itself, right? The words are simply guiding, pointers, right? Ultimately, the words are just words. They're just concepts, and conceptual reality will never measure up to ultimate reality. We just use these words, we use language to communicate, to share, and to, I think, come closer together. And I think if used the right way, they can be helpful, but they are never the absolute truth. That's what I'm trying to get across. So as we go into this particular chapter, this is what jumps out at me. And it's through these particular lines where he says, close your mouth, block off your senses, blunt your sharpness, untie your knots, soften your glare, settle your dust. This is the primal identity. Be like the Tao. It can't be approached or withdrawn from, benefited or harmed, honored or brought into disgrace. So what we are seeing here, what I'm picking up from these lines is, it reminds me of another line, actually, from a another chapter. I can't remember the chapter number right off the top of my head. I don't have this book memorized now. But there's a line in the Tao Te Ching that I'm maybe paraphrasing it here, but he basically says that when our true or ultimate intelligence, when we forget it, right, when we lose touch with it, right, it's kind of like losing touch with high self or with source, he says, cleverness appears, okay? And what we see here is that, as I believe, as we as human beings get so lost in the world of forms, of thoughts, of concepts, we, as I share here a whole lot, I just talked about it in the last Zen stream, that our whole consciousness is like this amazingly vast, huge iceberg, right? And our thinking mind, our limited mind, our problem-solving mind, linear mind, is the tip of the iceberg, just the tip of the iceberg. But many human beings, I believe, live their whole lives only using and only being aware, really, of this tip of the iceberg, right? And they totally don't connect with the vast intelligence that is available to us, right? So when that happens, the tip of the iceberg has to suddenly become very clever, very sharp, it ties itself into knots. It starts kicking up a lot of dust. And you see what I'm doing here? I'm using the exact words that he's using in this particular chapter, as he says, block off your senses, blunt your sharpness, untie your knots, soften your glare, settle your dust. All of these lines, what they say to me is, get out of that scheming, plotting, thinking, clever mind, that there is a whole vast intelligence beyond that thinking mind that is, as he says here, the primal identity, right? And it says, and then that line's followed immediately by, be like the Tao. It can't be approached or withdrawn from, benefited or harmed, honored or brought into disgrace. And what happens when we are not connected to that vast intelligence, when we are living our reality through that limited tip of the iceberg mind, is that it's very easy. You could also call it, by the way, you could also say it's the ego mind, right? That works. That word works pretty well for our purposes of what we're talking about. So it's very easy, right, for the ego, think about it, to be approached or withdrawn from, to be benefited or harmed, to be honored or brought into disgrace, right? That's very kind of ego-based. And that part of our mind can become very sharp, right? Very, very clever, very manipulative, right? It's our schemer, our planner. And we have to use that, you know, as I said the other day in our Zen stream, that part of our mind is not an enemy. It's not something that we have to root out and eliminate from our lives. It's a tool, right? It's a tool. We use it to function, as I said. You know, we use it to talk, to function in this society that we have built, to this social world that we have built. But it cannot ever really grasp, as he says here, the terminology he uses, the primal identity, right? It cannot. I want to actually, I just thought of something. I'm going to share something with you that I recently read on Twitter. But give me a second here to find it. And I'm going to pause here just to allow a word from a sponsor. And I'll be right back. All right, you all. Thanks for your patience. I did find exactly what I was looking for. So many of you may know of this teacher named Osho. And he came up with this really great, I want to read this quote that he said that I think really, really puts in very clear words what we're talking about here, and how in the text, in the Tao Te Ching, in the chapter, he says, be like the primal identity, right? Be like the Tao. And he does a really good job here through this quote of talking about or delineating the difference between that tip of the iceberg mind, the part of the mind that becomes very sharp, very clever, when it becomes disconnected from the vast consciousness that exists beyond that mind. So he says here, okay, and he says, but to me, mind is that part, I think he's talking here, by the way, sorry, he's talking about the tip of the iceberg mind. He says, but to me, mind is that part which has been given to you. It is not yours. Mind means the borrowed. Mind means the cultivated. Mind means that which the society has penetrated into you. It is not you. Consciousness is your nature. Mind is just the circumference created by the society around you, the culture, your education. So he goes on to say, the mind is something which is given to us by society. It is our autobiographical memory, personal identity, and cultural upbringing. Quote, each culture, each society creates a different mind. Mind is a social byproduct. And unless this mind dissolves, you cannot go within. You cannot know what is really your nature, what is authentically your existence, your consciousness. End quote. So I really, really like the way he describes that. And I think it's very clear the way he puts it, where he says we have this kind of ego mind, or like I've been saying, tip of the iceberg mind, thinking mind. That is the mind that is shaped through, as I've said here many times on the podcast, shaped throughout our lives, through our upbringing, what we learn from our caregivers, what our culture gives us, what society gives us, what our history gives us as human beings, our socioeconomic status puts into us, even our religions put into us. This is the type of mind that is shaped through our experience. But this is ultimately an ultimate reality. It is not the totality of who we are. It is not the totality of mind. It's one of the things that kind of troubles me, not troubles me, that's not the right word, but it bugs me a little bit, is that a lot of times different people use the word mind, but they're actually talking about different things. So I could say mind is, for example, the tip of the iceberg mind that I've been talking about. Whereas other people may use the word mind, and like, for example, some Buddhist teachers say that the whole universe is mind, right? That mind creates the universe. And now we're talking about a very different type of mind, right? We're talking about, you could say, I guess, ego mind, and then you could talk about our whole mind, or you know,
the ultimate mind, or our God consciousness, maybe, or the rest of the iceberg, like I've been saying, or like he says here, consciousness, right? It's a very good way to delineate the two things. So he calls, in this particular quote, he uses the word mind to point to that tip of the iceberg, that thinker, that talker that's always going in your head, you know, comparing, evaluating, planning, looking at the past, you know, projecting into the future, you know, reminding you of worries, of anxiety, of all these different things. It's like the nervous monkey mind, like they talk about in Buddhism, the monkey mind. But we have available to us something so much more vast, so much more infinite, right? And that is the rest of the iceberg, which in this particular quote by Osho, he calls consciousness, which I like that. I like that word. And we go back to our chapter here, chapter 56 in the Tao Te Ching. We could equate that vast consciousness to, as he says here, the primal identity. And he goes to the very next line, like I said, be like the Tao, right? And if you replace Tao or primal identity with vast consciousness, then the rest of the lines, just listen to how they go. Vast consciousness, it cannot be approached or withdrawn from, benefited or harmed, honored or brought into disgrace. It gives itself up continually. That is why it endures. So we are slowly detaching or loosening our grip, is maybe a better way to put it. Loosening our grip, that tightness, that sharpness, that cleverness that hangs onto the ego and makes it more real than the consciousness which has created it, right? And so we get lost in that limited mind. And as we do, right, we tend to feel less connected to that which exists beyond that mind, the consciousness. And when that happens, you get, it gives rise to where he starts, where he says you get very sharp, you start getting yourself tied up in a lot of knots, your glare starts to get more, you know, again, sharp. He uses the word sharp. Blunt your sharpness. Where is it? Soften your glare. That's what I was looking for. Soften your glare. So it's like your glare gets very hard. You kick up a lot of dust. So as he goes through these different lines where he says, block off your senses, blunt your sharpness, untie your knots, soften your glare, settle your dust. And he goes, this is the primal identity, right? And as you connect more and more to that vast consciousness, you will start to know that feeling of letting go, of just relaxing, of knowing that this universe is already perfect, exactly the way it is, and where you are in relation to that universe is already perfect. Interestingly, like I said just the other day on the Zen stream, and paradoxically, when you're able to get into that kind of state, then automatically you just start really creating some amazing things in your life, right? Goals start becoming very simple. You start attracting better and better people into your life, better and better situations. It's just because that's your natural state. That's really your natural state. It's that limited thinking, ego mind, tip of the iceberg mind that tends to trip things up, right? So I could go a whole lot further on the whole block off your senses line because there's a whole, you know, sutra I've talked a whole lot about here, the Heart Sutra that talks a lot about the senses. But that we could save that for a whole other episode. I really hope that you enjoyed this particular episode, that you got something good out of it that'll help you in your practice today. Remember, you could also follow me on Twitter. I am posting regularly on Twitter some of my own writings, and I'm retweeting a lot of really good stuff that I think can serve as nice little reminders throughout the day. So make sure you follow me on Twitter. I also have the YouTube channel. If you ever want to reach out to me, any comments, questions, concerns, or ideas for topics on episodes, just find any one of my videos. Go to YouTube, search for Dreams Warp, find any one of my videos, post a comment. I get a notification right away and say, hey, I just, you know, came from your podcast, had a question, comment, concern, or an idea for an episode, and you know, I'll be happy to respond there. All right. I really want to thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.